Hi, this is Dan Steele with your WASA Legislative Report for Tuesday, February 27th. Last week was budget week in the legislature, with six legislative budget proposals being put on the table: House and Senate 2024 Supplemental Operating, Capital, and Transportation Budgets. Last Friday, the full Senate adopted their operating budget, Senate Bill 5950. On Saturday, the House adopted a striking amendment to Senate Bill 5950, which replaced the Senate's budget language with the House's budget. Budget writers are negotiating details behind the scenes now. At this point, historically, the House and Senate would appoint a conference committee to officially negotiate on a compromise. That hasn't happened, and in fact, the creation of a conference committee is not expected to happen until budget writers have reached a final agreement. For more details on this process, see WASA's legislative newsletter, This Week in Olympia, from Week 6, February 16th. We discussed some of the high-level details of the operating budget proposals here last week. In short, the Senate proposes a spending package of $1.9 billion, with $722 million that being policy decisions, while the House proposes $2.2 billion in new spending, with a policy-level expense of $1.1 billion. A $300 million difference seems huge, until you put it in the context of a $70 billion overall budget. Nevertheless, there are fairly major philosophical differences between the two houses, and negotiations are expected to be difficult. For K-12 education, the major differences appear to be different ideas about staffing allocations for paraeducators, where the Senate funds and the House doesn't. The increase in the special education enrollment cap, with the Senate increasing from 15% to 15.6%, and the House increasing to 17.25%, and also an enhancement to materials, supplies, and operating costs, or MSOC, where the House provides an increase and the Senate does not. There is some potential good news on that last piece, however. House Bill 2494, which would increase the base funding for MSOC in statute, and is reflected with a $37 million increase in the House budget proposal, was passed by the Senate Ways and Means Committee yesterday. Before being adopted, it was amended to increase the base funding from $21 per student to almost $29 per student. We hesitate to make an assumption, but this seems like a very positive signal that the Senate not only will move to the House's position on MSOC, but plans to provide a greater increase. $29 per student is still a significant distance of where the funding should be and what we've asked for. However, it's a universe away from the $0 increase that was on the table just a few weeks ago. There is also positive movement on the capital budget. Last Thursday, the full Senate adopted its capital budget, Senate Bill 5949. The House has not yet acted on it. However, they immediately advanced it to the House floor calendar. Like the operating budget, it looks like the House will adopt their capital budget using the Senate's bill, Senate Bill 5949, as the vehicle. There is the potential the House will hold on to the bill until capital budget writers have reached a final compromise. Regardless of the process, however, there are major philosophical differences between the two houses on the capital budget, like the operating budget. Both proposals would increase the underlying two-year capital budget by approximately $1.3 billion, but the two sides take very different approaches to reach that number. While the budgets were moving in the light of day and now have gone underground, legislators continue to plow through bills in the fiscal committees. Yesterday was a House Fiscal Committee cutoff. While each fiscal committee had lengthy agendas and passed a lot of bills, hundreds of other bills fell off the table. Today, legislators returned to their respective chambers to address the stack of bills awaiting in the rules committees or on the floor calendars. They have until Friday, March 1st, 5 p.m. to adopt these bills to keep them alive. After that date, legislators will use the remaining 6 days of session negotiating on differences between bills, including ongoing negotiations on the budgets. Other than budgets and budget implementing bills, one of the few things legislators can address in the final week are initiatives and potential alternatives to initiatives. We haven't talked much about the six initiatives on the table, but there is some movement this week. Today, the Senate Ways and Means Committee and the House Finance Committee held a joint hearing to address Initiative 2111, which would ban local or state income taxes. Tomorrow, the Senate Law and Justice Committee and the House Community Safety, Justice, and Reentry Committee will hold a joint hearing on Initiative 2113 to address police pursuits. Also tomorrow, the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education Committee and the House Education Committee will hold a joint hearing on Initiative 2081, establishing a Parents' Bill of Rights. With these hearings, it's expected that legislators will adopt them, which would make them law without going to the ballot. Specifically regarding Initiative 2081, Parents' Bill of Rights, much of the provisions in the initiative are already in law. While some pieces may need to be adjusted, it appears legislators will adopt the initiative as written, then make necessary changes next session. In terms of process, if legislators amended the initiative this session, those amendments would have to be addressed as an alternative, with both the original and the alternative being on the ballot. Additionally, if the legislature adopts Initiative 2081 this session, they can amend it next session with a simple majority vote. If Initiative 2081 was on the ballot and it was adopted, it would take a supermajority to amend the initiative in the first 2 years. The additional strategy of adopting these initiatives appears to be that it would provide more of a focus on the remaining three initiatives that legislators clearly are not going to address this session. Initiative 2109 would repeal the capital gains tax. Initiative 2117 would repeal the Climate Commitment Act. And Initiative 2124 would allow some flexibility in the new long-term care tax, essentially gutting the program. These three initiatives are Democratic priorities. By setting aside the first three initiatives, campaigns can focus their energy and their money on these latter three initiatives. Democrats were also concerned Initiative 2081, Parents' Rights, might turn out voters to the ballot that might not otherwise vote. By having the legislature adopt the initiative, the thought is perhaps those voters may stay away. This week, numerous education-related bills continue to swirl around, but rather than overwhelm you here with a whole list of bills, we'll address the key bills and their action in Friday's newsletter, This Week in Olympia. As noted earlier, budget writers have gone underground. However, other legislators who can influence them need to continue to hear from you and hear your concerns. So continue to engage in these final days. Thank you for listening.